الحمد لله، الحمد لله وحده، والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده، أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم: اعبد الله كأنك تراه، فإن لم تكن تراه فإنه يراك. واعدد نفسك في الموتى وإياك ودعوة المظلوم، فإنها تستجاب، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام: رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي: يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ونبينا وحبيبنا وسندنا وشفيعنا وسندنا ومولانا محمد صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه وبارك وسلم. Most honorable scholars, respected brothers, elders, and my young friends and mothers and sisters, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His divine wisdom, He has maintained a system from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam until the final Prophet Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, and from Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam until the Day of Judgment. There will be people in every era, every time, who will be a means of guidance for the humanity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He initiates this chain from the time of Adam alayhi salatu wassalam. And He sends down many prophets alayhimus salatu wassalam, who would guide people towards the straight path. After our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, this responsibility came to the people, individuals of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and the group of people who fulfill this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fully and completely was the group of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He says in the hadith, "The ashabi kan nujum," that my companions, my sahaba, every single sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a guiding star. Ashabi kan nujum, fabi ayyihi muqtadaytum ihtadaytum. Whoever you choose as your role model, whoever you look up to, whether it is Abu Bakr radiyallahu ta'ala an, whether it's Umar radiyallahu ta'ala an, whether it's Uthman radiyallahu ta'ala an, whether it's Ali radiyallahu ta'ala an, whether it's Talha radiyallahu ta'ala an, whether it's Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiyallahu ta'ala an, whether it's Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, whether it's Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu ta'ala anhuma, whoever you choose as your role model, if you look at their life and try to copy and emulate the life of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, you will find the straight path. Every sahabi was accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Even the youngest sahabi, or the sahabi who is considered very, very low in the time of the companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but when he is compared with other individuals from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, then this one companion is sufficient to surpass all these individuals of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. This is why once a person came to Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullahu ta'ala, a great scholar. He was a student of Imam Abu Hanifa, rahimahullahu ta'ala, and teacher of Imam Bukhari, rahimahullah. A great scholar, Abdullah ibn Mubarak, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Once a person came to him and he asked him, that who is better, is Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu better, or Abdullah, or Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? Because Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was not a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. He became Khalifa in the Hijrah 99. And he stayed as a Khalifa for 2 years. But he displayed such discipline and such honesty that people say that he was like the fifth Khalif. There were four Khalifa after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam: Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali. After that, Khilafat was stopped. But they say that the justice of Umar ibn Abdul Aziz was such that we can say that he was the fifth Khalif. But he was not a companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And Muawiyah was a companion. So the question was posed to him that who is better? Is Muawiyah better or Umar ibn Abdul Aziz? Amazing answer given by Abdullah ibn Mubarak rahimahullahu ta'ala. He says that you are comparing the personality of Muawiyah and Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. I say to you that when Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who is the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when he went in the battlefield in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the dust that flew and settled in the nose of his horse is better than Umar ibn Abdul Aziz. This is the status and this is the position the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum hold in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَكُلَّا وَعَدَ اللَّهُ الْحُسْنَى. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He promises goodness for each and every single sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Radiyallahu anhum wa radu an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes an announcement that every single sahabi, they have emulated, they have practiced my commands and the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such a way that I announce today in the Quran that until the day of judgment, whoever will open the Quran and read this verse of the Quran, he will know that I am happy with each and every single companion and they are happy with me. Every companion was prominent. But some companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they hold a higher position than others. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose few companions for worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He chose few companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, to pass on the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose few companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum who gathered the verses of the Quran, and the Quran is in a book form in front of us today in one place. Allah chose few companions to memorize Quran. So the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who is narrating this hadith which I recited before you in the khutbah is Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. This is his kunniya. His name was Uwaymir ibn Malik al-Khazraji radiyallahu ta'ala an. He was an Ansari sahabi and he belonged to the tribe of Khazraj. We all know that there were two famous tribes in Madinatul Munawwara in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one was Aus and the other was Khazraj. So he belonged to the tribe of Khazraj. Khazraj, they migrated from Yemen and they took Medina as their residing place. Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he was one of those six companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who were considered mountains of knowledge in his time. Umar ibn al-Khattab was one. Ali ibn Abi Talib was second. Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala anhu was third. Mu'adh ibn Jabal was fourth. And Zayd ibn Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu fifth. And Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Six companions, they were mountains of knowledge. They had so much ilm, so much knowledge, that when Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, when he was passing away, and his close ones, his disciples, his students, they came to him. And he's passing away, he's leaving this world. And these students, they said to him, Ya Aba Abdurrahman, Awsina. O Abu Abdurrahman, O Mu'adh ibn Jabal, these are few last moments of yours in this world. You will leave us, you will separate from us very, very shortly. Can you give us some advice which we can hold fast to? We can practice so that we can please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What does he say? He says, إِلْتَمِسُ الْعِلْمَ عِنْدَ عُوَيْمِرْ فَإِنَّهُ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمِ. That after I pass away, if you look for someone and if you want to make someone your teacher, then go and look for ilm by Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Uwaymir ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Because he is from amongst those companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who is blessed with special knowledge by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the Battle of Uhud, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ni'ma al-farisu Uwaymir. What a great warrior Uwaymir ibn Malik radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is. Huwa hakimu ummati. Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is the wise person, wise individual of my ummah. Allahu Akbar, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself was so wise. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him so much hikmah and wisdom. Despite that, he's saying that the wisest person in my ummah is Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. And he dedicated his entire life in teaching and spreading the ulum and the knowledge of Quran and the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In the time of Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he said to Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu that I have a wish and I have a proposal to put before you. And that is that I like to make you a governor of Syria, the greater Syria. You be the governor of Syria. We all know how blessed this land of Syria was and still is. This is why Muawiyah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he did not want to leave his khilafah. And he stayed and he resided in Syria. So such a great honor, such a great position is being given to Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. But he refused and he said that I don't accept this proposal of yours, O Umar ibn al-Khattab radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. But I have one more proposal to put before you. That إِذَا رَضِيْتَ أَنْ أَذْهَبَ إِلَيْهِمْ لِأُعَلِّمُهُمْ كِتَابَ رَبِّهِمْ وَسُنَّةَ نَبِيِّهِمْ وَأُصَلِّي بِهِمْ ذَهَبْتُ. He says that if you tell me that I go to Syria and I teach them the knowledge of the Quran, I teach them the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I become their imam and I lead them in their prayers, if these three responsibilities are given to me, then I accept your offer and I'm ready to leave this blessed land of Medina and migrate to Syria. فَرَضِيَ مِنْهُ Umar, and Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says that I accept your offer and I make you mu'allim, I make you a teacher, I make you an imam. He leaves Madinatul Munawwara and he goes and stays in Syria. People used to flock to his lecture and his lesson. Once he was giving his lecture and lesson, he said to one of his students that, can you count how many people are present in my lesson? How many people are present in my lesson? So the student counted it. It was 1,600 people. More than 1,600 people in that time. Man, it was not that easy to travel from one city to other city, from one place to the other city. In that time, 1,600 people in his gathering, in his lesson. This is the acceptance he got in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He was an idol worshipper. And in his house, he had one room dedicated for this idol worshipping. He had idols in that room. I say to Muslims, my brothers, I'm one of you. But with so much regret, I have to say this. That unfortunately today, when Muslims, they prosper, they become wealthy, and they decide to buy a house, then when they build or when they buy a big house, they have one room dedicated for TV and television for entertainment. This is their cinema room. But you ask them, that do you have a salah room in your house? Do you have a room which is dedicated for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or not? The answer will be no. Because we have no connection with our deen. We have no connection. We have no love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can have room. We can provide this place for the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for others. That come to my house, watch TV, and disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in my house. But I don't have a room that is dedicated for salah, for worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that people can come to my house. They can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They can build their connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you become successful and I also become successful. Unfortunately, this is the condition. Majority of the people, they don't have a room specifically dedicated for the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a reality. It's a bitter reality. But we need to think, my brothers, that why is it that we have one room for shaitan and we don't have a room for Rahman? People are worshipping shaitan in their room. Why don't we have a room? Why don't we have a place where people can worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Where people can worship Rahman? The disbelievers, they understood this reality. That they thought that this was their haqiqah and that they were sincere in this fact that we are worshipping something. For their worship, they used to have a specific room, specific place. Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, who he goes to this room once and he cleans his idol and he garbs him with a garment and then he goes to his business, his work. And he had a childhood friend, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala. He comes to his house. He comes to his house and he goes in that room, he breaks all the idols. And as soon as he leaves, the wife of Abu Darda radiallahu ta'ala, and she goes in that room and she sees the state of that room, that all the idols are broken. And it was time for Abu Darda to come from work. He comes home and he finds his wife sitting on the door crying. Because she was scared that my husband will say that I have done this. I have broke all these idols. So when Abu Darda comes, he says that, what's the matter? Why are you crying? And she takes him to that room, the idol room. They both go inside and he sees the state of the idols. And he says that, who has done this? And the wife says that, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, your friend. He has done this. He broke all the idols. He becomes furious. He becomes overwhelmed with anger. And he has full intention of taking revenge from Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Why has he done this to me? And then as he's leaving his house to take revenge, he thinks to himself and he pauses. And he tells himself that if this is the state of the idols, that Abdullah ibn Rawaha came to my house, he broke all the idols, and none of them had this courage, none of them had this strength and power to defend themselves from Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who is a creation of God, who is the creation of Allah. If these idols are God, then why weren't they able to defend themselves? They have no goodness in them. They have no khair in them. And then he took a bath, he decides to go and meet Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As he's coming, Abdullah ibn Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu is sitting with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When he sees his friend coming towards them, And he says that ma arahu illa ja'a fi talabina. And he says that Abdullah ibn Rawaha says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that my friend Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu is coming with only one intention, one purpose. He is coming to look for us. Because I went to his house, broke all his idols, and he's coming to take his revenge from me. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that no, he's not coming for that reason. Innama ja'a liyuslima. He is coming to embrace Islam and accept Islam. Because inna rabbi wa'adani bi abid darda'i radiyallahu ta'ala anhu an yuslima. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has divined me. Send this message through Jibreel alayhi salatu wa salam that Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu will come. And he will come in your company and accept Islam. He will embrace Islam and he will leave idol worshipping. His acceptance of Iman was announced by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, divinely inspired to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrating this hadith. Inshallah, the three advices that he has mentioned in this hadith, inshallah, we'll share next time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us understanding. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts the love of the companions radiyallahu ta'ala anhum into our hearts and all the pious people of the ummah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to practice upon their footsteps. Wa akhiru da'wana an alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala khayri khalqihi sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in.